الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, inshallah I want to begin a series of khutab on the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his kalam in Surah Luqman, the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son. And inshallah this will take as long as it takes. Today is the first of those khutab inshallah. Now Luqman alayhi salam, many things are written about him. His name was Luqman ibn Tharan, and he was from Palestine, and he was African. He was black African Nubian in terms of his race. We say alayhi salam because that is how we address him, but he was not known to be a Nabi. So he's not among the Anbiya, but he was mentioned in the Quran to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a whole surah in the name of Luqman alayhi salam. The thing that is known about him and written about him by Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi and many others is the fact that he was somebody who was a zahid. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a lot of wisdom. And from this wisdom, what he advised his son are a series of things which I have made into six separate points. Inshallah, we will talk about them in the coming weeks, which are really, if you look at them, they are the fundamentals and foundations of how to conduct yourself and how to live your life. And inshallah, if we, as I always remind myself and you, the purpose of the khutbah is not to listen to the stories, but to see how we can inculcate these things into our own lives. Because it doesn't matter whether the khutbah is so-called nice or not nice. It doesn't matter whether you enjoy it or you don't enjoy it. It is not an entertainment session. What matters is what you take away and what you are able to apply in your lives. And inshallah, if we are able to do that, then this will result in a lot of goodness for us in this world and in the next, inshallah. Now, Luqman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and we will look at those specific ayat in Surah Luqman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. يا بني إنها إن تكو مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. وقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. These ayat, which begin from ayah number 12 and go on to number 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and indeed we bestowed upon Luqman al-hikmah, which is wisdom, and all that goes with wisdom, saying, give thanks to Allah. And whoever give thanks, he give thanks for the good of his own self. And whoever is not thankful, then verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghaniyun hamid. Allah is rich and he is free from all wants, including the need to be praised. And he is worthy of all praise. And remember when Luqman said to his son, when he was advising him, O my son, do not join others in worship with Allah. Verily, joining others in worship with Allah is a great zulm. It's a great oppression. It's a great wrong indeed. And we have enjoined on mankind to be dutiful and good to their parents. We have enjoined on man to be good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship. And his weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to me and to your parents. Unto me is the final destination. But if they both strive with you to make you join in worship with me others, that of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them. But still behave with them in the world kindly, and follow the path of the one who turns to me in repentance and in obedience. Then to me will be your return, and I shall tell you what you used to do. O my son, if it be anything equal to the weight of a grain of mustard seed, and though it be inside a rock, or in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle and well aware of the place of that thing as well as all our deeds. O my son, aqimis salah, establish salah, and enjoin al-ma'ruf, which is enjoin good, and forbid al-munkar, which is forbid all that is evil and wrong. And bear with patience whatever may befall you in this context. Verily, these are some of the important commandments ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no exemption. And do not turn your face away from people with pride, and do not walk with insolence through the earth. Verily, Allah does not like the arrogant boaster. And be moderate, and do not show insolence in your walking, and lower your voice. Verily, the harshest of all voices is the braying of the ass, is the voice of the ass. The points that are mentioned in all of these ayats are, the first one is shukr, which is thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the people. The second one is no shirk, which is the essence of tawheed. The third one is duty to parents, but obedience to them only in that which is good. The fourth one is accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden. The fifth one is to establish salah, and to enjoin good and forbid evil, and to bear with patience whatever befalls as a consequence of that. And the sixth one is no arrogance, whether it be in terms of your deportment or whether it be in terms of what you say. No arrogance in speech and no arrogance in manners. So no arrogant walking, no arrogant talking, no arrogance in any form. So six important points, inshallah. We will go through them in the coming weeks. Now, if you consider these points of advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, you can see how they are essential for creating a beautiful life in this world and to earn Jannah in the next. Now, this is a very important part of this deen of Islam, which sometimes we tend to forget. Islam is not a bunch of rituals. Islam is not something you do inside the church or inside the masjid or inside the temple. It's not a set of worship forms. It's not a bunch of rituals. Islam is a complete way of life that gives us guidance in terms of how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of how to lead our lives, in terms of our businesses, in terms of our families, in terms of our friends, our relatives, in terms of running governments and states, in terms of our temporal awe and our spiritual selves. So Islam covers everything. Islam covers every single aspect of life, and it covers it in a way which makes it applicable until the human race and until humankind remains on the earth. And that's the way to look at Islam. It's not just a set of, you know, how to do salah. It is one of the most important ones, but it's not something that is restricted to that. So if we, and that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this, narrated this advice of Luqman alayhi salam, And obviously this is something that Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered it important enough to put it in his book, so it is recited and learned by people all through the world and through across the ages, all the way until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to end this this earth and the people who live on it, because it is so important, and because this is a way for us to gain benefit in this dunya wal akhirah. Very important to understand also that we like to think, we use this terminology quite a lot in our normal parlance, where we say that we are in a linked world and, you know, everything has a consequence and we are networked and so on and so forth. But short-sightedly, we restrict all of this to our present life. So networked, you mean that you are on social media or something like this, you know, it's... But seriously, if you look at it, we are very networked. we are networked in a way which is far more subtle and far more important than social network. We are networked in a way where our physical actions are networked with our spiritual well-being. We are networked with in a way where our actions in this life will affect our future in the next life. So think of networks in that context. It's not just networks in terms of social media or emails or something. Networks in a far, far more important and far more critical context, which is that our actions are what we say, what we do, doesn't just have a physical material effect in this world, which it does, but also it affects our future in the life to come. For example, if you smile at a customer, you get more customers. It's not only good for business, but you also are, every smile is a sadaqah, and therefore you are going to get this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And so also with the rest of it. And that's the reason why it's important to understand this deen in the essence in which it was sent, and not just restricted to one piece of our lives. So I request you to consider each one of these pieces of advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, because they are worthy of consideration and they have a very direct impact on what we do. Also, think about this and say that each one of us, especially those who are parents, are role models. You have no choice in the matter. You are a role model whether you like it or not. All you have a choice is to say what kind of role model. What do you want children to learn? What do you want? And those who don't have children, we have friends, we have customers, we have colleagues, we have clients and so on. Every single living person is a role model. And you are a role model and you are teaching the world something. Now what is that something? And the reality of the world is that people listen with their eyes. They don't listen with their ears. People don't care what you say until they see what you do. And that's the reason why, you know, we have all these proverbs that we use. I think we should think about this proverb. We say, actions speak louder than words. What is the meaning of that? A picture is worth a thousand words. What's a picture? A picture is a snapshot of an action. Right? There's no picture of a thought. A picture is of something which actually happened. So we should think about this and reflect on it and say that if that is the case, if actions speak louder than words, what are my actions saying? As another lovely quote which I always use, and I like to use this, not mine, somebody else's, where he says that what you do speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you say. I mean, and I'm sure you can think of, you know, people in our lives, especially in the political world, where this is especially true. So seriously, the point of this is to look at ourselves and say, what is it that I am doing which either confirms and is in sync with what I am saying, or my actions give the lie to my speech? And if that is happening, then something that we need to correct absolutely immediately. So the first of the points that Luqman alayhi salam mentioned was the point of shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu began his kalam with the statement of shukr. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all thanks are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who is the Rabb of the Alameen, who is the creator and sustainer of the worlds. So the first point of advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son, and which we get from the Quran for ourselves, is the importance of shukr, to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ayat in Surah Al-Luqman, which is number 12, is وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. So the two important points in this, number one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he makes a very important point. He says, the one who gives thanks is giving thanks for himself. Don't think that by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're doing a favor to Allah. Allah is ghaniyun hamid. Allah does not need your thanks. Then you might say, well, then why should I thank Allah? If Allah does not need my thanks, and also if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will, the ayat of Surah Al-Ibrahim, we will look at that also in a minute, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the one who thanks me, I will increase my blessing. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And the one who is ungrateful, who has no gratitude, let him beware that my punishment is severe. So the question is that if Allah already knows, and Allah knows what's in our hearts, Allah knows that I am thankful, and also my saying thanks makes no difference to Allah, He doesn't need that, then why should I say thanks? And therefore the point there to remind ourselves is that thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about us. It is the sign of ubudiyat. It is the duty of the abd to thank the Rabb, not because he needs it, but because I am the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is my reiteration of that fact. This is the renewal of my bay'ah. This is the renewal of my ubudiyat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because he needs it, but because I need it. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs the salah, but because we need the salah. We worship Allah because we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who needs that connection? Allah or me? Allah does not need your connection. We need Allah's connection. So we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is for me. Because I need to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because Allah needs it. Allah does not need it. I was reading Colonel Chris Hadfield's absolutely wonderful book. I think it's an absolute required reading, and all of you must read it. It's called An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. Fantastic book. You must read it. I just finished reading it, and among millions of wonderful things in it, but one of the things he talks about is the size of the visible universe. And he says that in the small little piece, and even saying small little piece is a bit of a misnomer, because to be able to say small piece, you have to know the overall size. So small piece of the overall size. Since you don't know the overall size, saying small piece makes no sense. But anyway, the small piece of the visible universe that we know has hundreds of billions of galaxies the size of the Milky Way. I'm not talking about the solar system. I'm not talking about the Earth. I'm not even talking about the solar system. The bunch of planets which are spinning around our sun, our star, which is the sun. I'm talking about the entire Milky Way galaxy. The visible universe has hundreds of billions. Try writing down the number. How many zeros is that? Hundreds of billions of galaxies the size of the Milky Way. So what is your salah and my salah on one little, I don't even know, do you call it a dot? Wallahu alam, because if you do a scale mapping, you probably, it just won't, it's not even one pixel or something, you know. This earth. So we need to understand that this salah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave importance to, what kind of ni'mah is that? Seriously, I mean, what value is, I mean, if you look at it in this context, this earth is less than a grain of sand on a beach. Less than that. It's not even one grain of sand on a beach. And on this one grain of, or less than a grain of sand, or the smallest grain of sand on the beach, is you or me standing and making salah, or making dua, or making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What value is that? Technically, it should be completely valueless. But it is not. It is something which has huge value. Who put the value on it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. And that is why we need to make shukr. We need to make shukr because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave value to this action of ours, which in fact has no value. And that's the reason why we need to give importance to it, and we need to pay attention to it, and we need to ensure that there is no moment in our life that goes by without thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned shukr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who does not make shukr, let him beware that my punishment is severe. Why the punishment? Because by not making shukr, you are not giving importance to something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so much importance to. Here is this huge gift that Allah has given you, and you say, nah, doesn't matter, I don't care. Allah says, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falak, come and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, no, hold on, I got no time, I got many things to do. I'm busy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can take the action to say, you're busy, well, I'm going to call you now. Let's see how busy you are. It is mercy, does not do that. It is His mercy, doesn't do that. And may Allah give us the sense to understand, we see this happening with people all the time. Which one of us hasn't encountered sudden death in somebody? Which one of us hasn't heard that there was someone who was absolutely hale and hearty and he got up and died? We haven't heard this. We hear it all the time. Except that we live our life as if we believe that this cannot happen to me. It can happen to everybody else, but to me, this is not going to happen. I don't think you need me to tell you what kind of illogical basis that is. So seriously, let us ask ourselves this question and say, if I drop now, what do I have to take before Allah? And therefore, let us make this niyyah right now to say that from this moment onwards, inshallah, not a single moment of my life is going to pass without thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abai. Inshallah. Make the niyyah, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the power and the strength to make this happen. So, as I was saying, the key issue is not just to be thankful, but to express thanks, is to say thanks. Because it's not about us, it's about Allah subhanahu. It's not about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's about us. It's about showing our gratitude through obedience and the worship of Allah. What is the way of thanking Allah? Is not saying thank you very much. It is that also. But the way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in two things. You must ensure two things. Number one is you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being completely and totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Number one. And number two is you are thankful to Allah, you show your thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not using the ni'mat, the blessings, what Allah has given, not using this in any action of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two things. One is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to say thanks and then be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second one is not to use the blessings that Allah gave in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just reflect on it and think about it, that is the standard we apply also to ourselves. Right? We apply this standard to whoever is under your control, whoever you are supporting, financially or otherwise. What do you expect from them? You expect them to show some gratitude? You expect them to obey you if you tell them to do something? And you definitely expect them not to use what you are giving in a way that displeases you. So if there's someone, say for example, someone is running an organization, a charitable organization, and you like the work they do, so you give them a donation, and then you discover that this donation, the man takes it and he bought a house for himself, what will you say? You say, no, sorry, I didn't give you for this. I gave you the donation to work in your, to use in your charitable work. How can you take it and make a house? He would have said, you never specified, you gave me a donation. But he said, no, I don't have to, I gave you for this reason. So ask yourself now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us our faculties. He gave us our strength. He gave us our intelligence. He gave us wealth. He gave us power, authority, influence. What we need to do is to sit down and do an inventory and look in this inventory and say, my sight, in the last 1 week, did I use it in obedience to Allah or in disobedience to Allah. Actually, sit down, write it out, two columns. Blessings of Allah, left column. How did I use them? Right column. Sit down and write this out for yourself. Whatever blessings Allah has given you. My hearing, did I use it in obedience to Allah or in disobedience? My strength, my health, my wealth, my influence, my money, and so on and so on and so on. Did I use it in obedience to Allah or in disobedience of Allah? That is the purpose. When we say that we have a khutbah on shukr, this is the meaning and the purpose of the khutbah on shukr. It's not for me to, you know, narrate some ayat for you and stories and you go home happy, no. And I'm not saying necessarily that when you make this list that you are going to come out of there in a state of depression. No, maybe alhamdulillah, maybe you are among those who do good things. And so nothing wrong with that. Feel happy about it. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah, you gave me these faculties. Alhamdulillah, I have used them well. Please accept this from me and forgive me if I have made some mistakes. That's also possible. But sit down and make this, do an accounting. Do an accounting. And say, what did Allah give me? And how have I used it? Because the benefit of this accounting is that if you and I come upon things that we have not used the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to use them, then we still have the opportunity to correct ourselves. As long as we have this life, we have the opportunity to make tawbah, and that is the greatest blessing that Allah has given us. You can make a U-turn. You're not committed to go through the toll gate. So don't do that. Don't wait until you come to the toll, because then you can't go back. Wait. Don't wait at all. Do it now. Sit down, go home after this Jummah. Write down an account. What has Allah given me and how have I been using it? As I said, last 1 week, because random recall memory, whatever is fresh in your mind. But by all means, think of all that you have done and not done. And say, what do I need to change in this lifestyle of mine? My brothers and sisters, we all have choices. As long as death is not the cessation of existence, death is the cessation of choice. Zindagi ke khatam hone ka naam maut nahi hai. اختیار کے ختم ہونے کا نام موت ہے. زندگی نہیں ختم ہوتی, زندگی چلتی ہے. We just go from one way of living and one form of life to another form of life. From the alam al-shahada to alam al-barzakh. Life continues. Life does not end with death. What ends is our ability to do anything. اختیار کے ختم ہونے کا نام موت ہے. زندگی ختم نہیں ہوتی. So while we still have ikhtiyar, while we still have the ability to make choices, let us be sensible and let us make good choices. Because as I said, we are hugely networked. We are massively networked. And one choice you make here has repercussions that are not just going to last for a long time, but that are going to last forever. So we have a huge opportunity. I take this as extremely good news. I do not take this as bad news. I take this as absolutely phenomenally good news that I have been given and you have been given this power in this life to actually impact something, the impact of which you and I will feel and see forever. What's better than that? So why not use it where we come out with all the boxes ticked. Come out absolute winners. Dunya wal akhirah. And remember, Islam does not tell you that to win in the akhirah, you have to destroy yourself in this dunya. You have to live a life which sucks. You know, really horrible life. No fun, no nothing. But in the akhirah, you will get Jannah. You say, no, sorry. No, that's pie in the sky. It's not like that. You have an absolutely phenomenally beautiful life. Great fun. Huge influence. Lots of friends, lots of, you know, doing all kinds of good things. And inshallah al-musta'an in the akhirah, Jannatul Firdaus ul-A'la bi ghairi hisab. Now what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? So seriously, sit down and do this accounting. Yeah, I'm not going to rush through this khutbah. Let's take our time, because the whole point is to get some action behind this. So let us sit down and take an account and say, what are the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? Many of you are blessed with parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the father is one door of Jannah, the mother is another door of Jannah. When the father dies, that door will close. When the mother dies, that door will close. Alhamdulillah, there are many of you for whom both the doors are open. What do you want to do with that? What do you want to do with that? You have a choice. Similarly, many of you have children. Who are your children? Your children are your sadqatul jariyah. Your children are those whose actions, whether you like it or not, whether they like it or not, are going to do good or evil for you after you are gone. And what does that depend on? That depends on how you brought them up. After you bring them up well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them in that situation. But if you find that after they grow up and they are adults and so on, then they go off on some, you know, wrong track, then inshallah you are not responsible. But did you take the trouble to bring them up well? Did you introduce them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you introduce them to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did they see the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the adherence to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their home when they were growing up? Or did they see the opposite? And again, no need to feel bad about it. If that was not the case, the time to make a correction, you have it even now. Now sit them down and say, you have grown up, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, your mother made a mistake, we should have done all this long ago, but now here is an opportunity, you are alive, we are alive, let's make tawbah, let's get back on track. Nothing wrong with that. Do that, if that is the case. But remember, the day will come when this door will close. And that door is the door to make tawbah, the door to change our lives. I advise myself and you, let us not wait for that day. Especially because we don't know when that is going to come. We know it's going to come, but we don't know when it's going to come. So it makes all the great sense in the world to ensure that we straighten ourselves out as quickly as possible and remain on track so that we have a beautiful life in this world and the next. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to bless you and fill your lives with noor and to fill your lives with hidayah and barakah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with hub and muhabbat for himself and for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your and my lives completely and totally obedient to him Jalla Jalaluhu and on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for all that he has given us. We thank Allah for Islam. We thank Allah for Iman. We thank Allah for Tawheed. We thank Allah for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, through whom we got all of this hidayah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest of darajat, the maqam al-mahmood. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest of rewards. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us his companions on the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.